This second Sunday in Advent is dedicated really to the theme of St. John the Baptist coming to prepare the way of the Lord by his very person, by his preaching, by his radical form of preaching. You imagine being there when he was preaching. He was pretty stark and extremely austere and completely forgetful of himself, and his role was really to shake the people, to startle them out of their stupor, out of their sins, out of their lukewarmness, perhaps, to really shake and prepare and get ready the people. He was really that kind of messenger to prepare the way of Jesus, to prepare his imminent coming, his immediate coming shortly after. Of course, the Old Testament was a preparation for the coming of the Messiah, the patriarchs and the kings and the judges and the prophets and Moses and the law. All of that was to prepare the hearts and the minds in the Jewish nation, who was to teach it to the other nations. The coming of the Messiah was all a preparation. So St. John the Baptist was a more immediate preparation for the coming of Jesus. And we're thinking now about the coming of our Lord. There was that immediate coming then, which St. John the Baptist was really shaking the people into this preparation through a spirit of repentance, through the baptism that he was offering, through reforming their life and repenting from major sin, a life of sin and wickedness or whatever they were living at that time, sort of in a general and big or larger context, that they were to come and receive the benefit of his baptism, and really that would be a big help to them to turn their life around to a better way in a larger sense. And our Lord would sort of finish it off and help the people to improve their life in a much, much greater way, in a way of perfection. He would give them the gospel of perfection, that they were to reform and prepare their hearts and their lives for a perfect, holy life. That's what Jesus was coming to do. And he was different than St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist was the stark prophet who was standing on the mountaintop and railing against sin and railing against wickedness and "you brood of vipers" to the Pharisees, and even to Herod. He would speak out in this radical way, where he's fearless, afraid of nothing, and ready to die for the truth and for Jesus. And that was the person of St. John the Baptist. You could see that and how different he was from Jesus. That was his role, though. He did the right thing. He did what he was called to do. He followed the will of God for him perfectly, as a person, St. John the Baptist. But our Lord had a different role. He came to dwell among men, to walk among men, to eat and drink among men, to talk to them, to be with them, to be with us, and to show us how to live a good life amongst each other, not to, sort of hide from each other and to live a secluded life like St. John the Baptist was supposed to do, but to show us that we can live a holy, good, and rich life in the midst of each other and families and society. Jesus mingled with us and showed us we can be good and holy that way, as he did. He worked. He lived in a family. He ate and drank and lived in the company of men. And you see his character, meekness, as opposed to crying out on the housetop that Saint John the Baptist had to do. He was meek and gentle and kind and loving but also strong too, and he also did speak strongly against sin and when it was appropriate and all that. So there was the preparation for the coming of Jesus that happened in the Old Testament with St. John the Baptist, and there's the coming that we remember and we celebrate again in a sort of a general or a larger context at Christmas time, where we want to go to confession, where we want to you know, in a general way, be more good and more generous, more kind to our family members, our husband and wife, and our co-workers. That spirit of generosity that's in the air at this Advent time leading up to Christmas, and that's all a good, it's all a good thing. You know, we need the larger context in society to have these images of the Christmas crèche and Christmas trees and all of this stuff, this external thing, which is so good and so important and valuable. We need that larger context of preparation for the coming of Jesus at Christmas time, where he really does come in a special way in his grace. So there is that special coming of our Lord in our hearts, in our lives and families at Christmas time. And of course, there's the coming of Jesus at the Eucharist and Holy Mass, which we prepare for as well, with confession, with contrition, with prayer before Mass, with trying to recollect ourselves before Mass. There's that preparation for the coming of Jesus there in the Eucharist. But I think even more important than all these things, all these other comings of our Lord, is the coming of our Lord into our heart, which is different. It's even different than coming of Jesus in the Eucharist, because he can come into our body and not necessarily into our heart. We can forget him, we can ignore him, we can be indifferent, we can not even think of anything about him when we receive him in the Eucharist. That can happen. And so we are called, really, the most important thing, we are called to prepare for the coming of Jesus when? Today, not even today, now, right now, we are to prepare for the coming of Jesus into your heart and my heart. Prepare for that. And it's now. It's not tomorrow. It's now. We need to prepare. How do we prepare? You know, this is the thing. How do you prepare for the coming of Jesus? You know, because, you know, you may not even be aware of the obstacles that you may place, that I may place, that we may place in our hearts for the coming of Jesus. Not only be aware, but we we're struggling and we're trying. We want our Lord to come into our hearts, but we don't even know what's preventing him from coming into our hearts more strongly, more fully, more deeply. We don't even know. You know, and how do you find out? You know, we have to reflect, we need to examine, we need to pray for enlightenment, we need to take time to just look at our life, look at the time that we spent, look at our spiritual life, look at what's there, what's not there, what's in the way, what obstacles there are, because there are some in all of our life, big obstacles or small. That we need to look and find them. That's what our Lord is calling for especially. We know that we need to get the big things out of our way for the coming of Jesus, and also the small things, so that we can become better, really better, much better, deeply better, more holy, more perfect. We're called to do the big things and the small things, and that takes examination. We need to really reflect and think and look intently at our life, and you'd be surprised. Most of us don't even look. Most of us want to be good, and we just go through our day, we go through our work, just hoping we'll get better, hoping we'll do the good things, and then just kind of stumble our way through our day and through our life, and have some successes, but mostly just kind of stay the same and stagnate and just not get better and not even know why. We don't even know why, and because we just don't reflect, we don't think, we don't have that time to examine. You know, some of us have small things in our way, some of us have big things. You think of the elephant in your house, in your room, and in your spiritual life. This elephant that's big and you can't even walk around, you have to climb under him, you got to go around, you can't see through the window, you can't, you know, and you're so used to it being there. Maybe he moves around a little bit, but for the most part he just stays there and you don't even notice him. maybe he's a tall one, and you just see through his legs, and you just crawl under him and go around, and, you know, that's what happens to a lot of us. So these big things that are in our way, and we don't even know it. Those big things can be, you know, a bottle, they can be a computer, they can be a television, they can be our work, they can be, you know, a person in our life that's screwing up our life and messing, you know, that we shouldn't be relating with. It can be these big things, and we don't even realize it. You know, we're struggling to be good, and we just keep falling, and we just don't make any progress, and we waste so much time, and we commit sin, and all this, and we don't even know, because we didn't even see that big thing, because we didn't even think, we didn't even look. We're just going through our life as we usually do. But if we just stopped, you know, and started looking around and seeing what's in the way, I say, well, there's that big thing. I need to get him out of the house. I need to get him out of my room and out of my life. And, you know, our spiritual life is really not that difficult to make it good, to make it holy, to make it really good. It's not that difficult, you know. If we take things out of our way that shouldn't be there, and, you know, if you look in your life for these occasions of sin, or these wasted time, or these things that you don't really need, and you don't even realize that there are obstacles to your spiritual growth, or you're rooting out sin from your life that you don't even realize what's causing it. If you look around and you take those things out of your life, say, wow, what a freedom, what a weight off of my shoulders. And now I can be good. Now I can do what I was never able to do before, and it's so much easier. Just by taking those things out of our life, you know, this, as St. John the Baptist was called to do, to make the mountains low, take those big things out of the way, and fill in the valleys, as he says to do. Fill in the valleys, meaning once you take those big things out of your life, all that wasted time, you got to fill it in with good things. Otherwise, and if you don't, you stop smoking, for instance, and you don't start doing something good instead of that, you'll either go back to smoking or take up something worse. You give up the TV, and then you got all this time. What am I going to do? If I don't think of something good to do, I'll fill it with bad things, and the devil will help you. So we need to fill in the valleys with good things, charitable things, spiritual readings, charitable taking care of other people, praying more, taking an hour adoration, doing whatever. And you need to think about not only planning out your own life, planning out what you're going to do, thinking about it, I'm so clever, I'm so smart, I figured this thing out, I figured out what I can do to straighten out my life. No, we can't even do that. We have to pray and ask for God's will. What do I do? You know, God, you have called me to get rid of this thing which is not good for me. What do I do instead? You know, we need to pray and ask God for what he should do. He wants us to do. And then we think with our brain, with our mind, we think with God's help and grace, and we fill it with what he wants to be there, and then we can do it. And he gives us the grace to do it, and it fulfills us, it makes us happy, and it makes us fulfilled in this joy there. Fill it with good and holy things, you know, prepare, make straight our paths, you know, make the rough ways smooth, as it says in the book of Isaiah, make straight crooked ways. We need to smooth out our bad tempers, our impatience, our lack of kindness in the bad way, the rough ways we treat other people, replace it with the smooth ways of humility and meekness and kindness and charity and goodness. We need to smooth things out and make our way straight according to the will of God. Make it straight. This is what we're called to do in preparing the way for the Lord. We need to especially think of it in the terms of preparing my heart. That's the most important thing, preparing my heart for the coming of Jesus, because he wants to come into your heart, and we want him to come. And again, we don't always know what's preventing him, and we need to get those things out of our out of his way so that he can enter. You can open the door to your heart so you have more time for him, more time to pray, more time to listen. Listen to what he wants to say to you, to correct you, to admonish you, to enlighten you, to help you, to encourage you. You know, we need to listen to our Lord rather than always the music or the television or the computer or these things that are distractions that really prevent our Lord from coming into my heart and yours. We need to get the obstacles out of the way. This is especially what we are to do in this time. You know, the big things that we generally think about, and going to confession, of course, is a great help to get the big things out and also to help us, you know, to perfect the small things that we need to focus to in our day-to-day living, to let our Lord in our heart now, today, and throughout the day, in the big way, in the big day, but also the small minute that we are living. Always keep the door open to Jesus and don't close it through the things of the world or our own self-will or our own selfishness, but always keep it open to Jesus. So we are to learn this. During this Advent season, it's a time of learning. We need to learn to know ourselves, what's wrong, what's not right, what's not best. Learn during this Advent season. It's a time of preparations. We can't not going to become experts right away. We don't expect that, but we embark on this journey of a greater holiness, and we can all do it. And again, we can all do it in a struggling way. You get the things out of your way, and it's easier. We can make it easier for yourself instead of fighting and struggling, and you know, get the things out of the way, and you find that you can glide closer to God, and you have more time, and God's grace is there for those who take the obstacles out of the way. God's grace fills you. And remember too, humility, that mountain represents pride, which is the greatest obstacle to us from growing in virtue and holiness. Let's humble ourselves, cut down that mountain, depend on our Lord, do humble things, humble ourselves before our brothers and sisters and before our Lord, letting him guide us and be more dependent on him and his grace and Our Lady to enlighten us and guide us and direct us, not me and you, but God, our Lord, Our Lady, to direct us on the way to holiness and salvation.